Am I on? Good. Trust as you follow the news, as maybe I follow it a little too much, but news has bearing on missions. And if you've been following the news, you will know that August the 15th is a day that might have an important point to play in one of our missionary couples. And so, especially as Trump has agreed to meet with Putin in Alaska. And so trust that you'll be praying about that event, that if God has it as his will, that he might shut down that war that is going on between Russia and the Ukraine, and that things might be able to open up in a bigger way in the Ukraine and in Russia as well. So trust as you follow the news that you can reflect and pray much about its bearing upon missions around the world and what God potentially wants and desires to do. We're continuing on in our study of 1 John, coming to verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2 this morning. And I've titled it Walking in the Light. Last week I kind of shared that John was sharing and bearing testimony of his involvement in his walk with the Lord while he spent time on this earth. And he had a unique way of describing it. Instead of just saying that he walked with the Lord through life events, he had to actively describe it as that he saw, he heard, and he looked and he touched. And I think he wanted them to understand that the involvement that he had was an active involvement. In fact, I think John came to an understanding of what it meant to walk with the light. And I think at the start, he didn't have full clarity on that. But as he progressed and as he walked with Jesus through the years that he had with him, I think he came to an understanding, especially when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, and that he saw him with, I believe it was Elijah and Moses there on the Mount. And he saw Jesus in a new light there as well. And so he got to experience something. And I believe he grew in his understanding of what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. But that, and here as he progresses on into verse 5 here shortly, we're going to see that it even grows further than that. Because there he begins to explain to us what exactly the message that Jesus left for him to give to his audience. Yes, John had a very much a love relationship with his audience here. And so he wanted to share deeply the things that he had seen, the things that he had heard, the things that he had looked upon and touched. And not just things, but a person. And he wants to describe to us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message that God had given to him. And that to have fellowship and the desire of that fellowship is a sweet thing to behold too. And I think he begins and he lets us in on a little bit of his relationship that he had and the desire of that relationship. And he wanted his audience to come to a full understanding of what does it mean to be in fellowship? What does it mean to walk in the light and with the light? So if you have your Bibles open, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1 and let's begin reading at verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And so here he uses the term little children, and I'm sure he's using that because when John is writing this, he's either in his 80s or maybe even into his 90s. Some believe that he could have lived into his hundreds. And so he's coming to the end of his life. And I'm not sure he knew exactly how many years God was going to give him. But he understood that he was one of the last of the apostles. And so he wanted to communicate some truths. And he wanted to communicate exactly the message that God had given to him. And he noticed here that John did not begin with his hearers' felt needs. He doesn't discuss where they may be hurting or bring his message that will help them to come to a happy family or develop a happy family or successful personal life. See, John had a deep relationship with his readers, and I'm sure that the temptation would have been to seek to express the love that he had for them, as we see later in the other chapters and in the later epistles. But here, he seeks and he goes into a message that is quite different. He doesn't dwell upon their felt needs. Rather, John begins with God, and he brings us face to face, not with God's love, but with his holiness. He bluntly says, God is light. Then, so we do not dodge the uncomfortable question, the implications of that, he states the negative. And in him, there is no darkness at all. And so this is the message that God gave him, and this is the message that God wanted John to begin with. He wanted him to lay a foundation, and it's a foundation that we need to come to in our own lives as well. Martin Lloyd-Jones makes this point that we must always start with God. He argues that our main problem is our self-centeredness, and so we come to the Christian faith looking to have our needs met. In fact, they say that the DNA of sin is self. If you ever examine the sin and the sin that seeks so eagerly to behold us, often self plays a big part in that. And so here he says that we need to come to begin with God. Often we say, I'm not happy. Can God make me happy? I'm looking for something that I don't have. Can God give it to me? How can Christianity help me with my problems and needs? But to approach the Christian faith in that manner is to cater to our main problem, which is self. And often we have sought to develop and move our Christian message into seeking to solve and help and benefit self. The first answer of the gospel can always, in effect, be put this way: forget yourself and contemplate God. And so it was even to a point where in Psalm 27, David there said, God, can I have permission just to come into your court and just to sit and stare upon you? David there, his desire was that he could spend time in God's presence, not coming with a message of a request, not coming with a burden upon his heart, but he just wanted to come and just to dwell in God's presence. And I believe that's an important place that we need to get back to in our lives and our Christian ministry. God, I want to be silent before you. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want to just stare in your face and contemplate you. When was the last time that we did that in our prayer life? Too many of us have so many requests we like to ask God, and he loves to hear those requests. I'm not denying the truth and the importance of asking God for things. But what about the importance of just coming with no agenda? God, I want to hear from you. Do we recognize God's voice in our lives? Martin Lloyd-Jones goes on to say, the way to be delivered from self-centeredness is to stand in the presence of God. May we be people who have time to spend standing in his presence. We now have the religious consumer. What would you like in church? What would get you to come back and try the church once again? And often that is our communication. We redesigned the church to meet the felt needs of the consumer. And we've gone to be into a consumerism. To have fellowship with God, we must recognize that he is absolutely holy. And here in verse 5, he begins with this, that God is light, God is holy. John says first, to have fellowship with God, we must begin with God and his authoritative revelation of himself, not with ourselves. And so the message that he wants to give and the message that John learned is that God is absolutely holy, that he is light. God starts with his essence, I am light. John is not sharing with us his speculations on what God may be like. He doesn't throw out an idea and suggest that his readers discuss what they think. He's not asking them to have a study group and come to a determination of what they think about God's holiness. He comes to an absolute declaration that God is light. God is holy in his very essence and his very being. He's not just that he walks in light. He's stating here that he is light. It is part of who he is. It is part of the makeup of God. It cannot be separated from that truth that he is light. To have fellowship with God, we must begin with his holiness. Church marketers would say God is holy, that God is holy won't sell. That's just not popular. If you want to draw the crowds, begin with God is love. Everyone wants to hear that. And if you want to draw a large crowd, then begin with the fact that God is love. And I'm not denying in the least that God is indeed love as part of who he is, as part of his character. But here, the message that John gives and the message that was given to John is the fact that God is holy. If you don't begin with God's holiness, then we will not fully understand God's plan of salvation through the cross of Christ. Why is the cross important in our lives, and why did he have to come and die upon the cross to satisfy his holiness, to satisfy his wrath that was upon us? Because we see there in, I believe, verse 1 that he is the propitiation for our sins. He's the satisfaction to God for our sins. If we start with God's holiness, it exposes all the false claims of fellowship with God as well. In our day, as in John's, many claim to have fellowship with God, but often this is an empty claim based on their own imagination with a false God that they have made up. And thus we see the account there in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 7, where he said, many will come in my name, God, do we not do this in your name? And God says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. They were seeking to walk in a false fellowship and a false understanding of what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be in fellowship. And so when we begin with the holiness of God, we come to a solid foundation. What does it mean to walk in fellowship with him? Starting with God's holiness saves us from the danger of blaming God in times of trouble. If we start with God's absolute holiness, we will see that we deserve nothing but his wrath. And we won't challenge and criticize God when trials come. And trials come for all of us. But we have the joy as his children that we walk through those trials with him, with his resources, with his strength. And we can have the opportunity to do that. True peace and joy come from being fully reconciled to the holy God through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To have fellowship with God, we must not walk in the darkness. For there is no darkness in him. To understand this paragraph, we must see that John is writing against the false claims of the false teachers. Their claims are introduced by the phrase, if we say. John here shifts from the we, from the apostles, to a hypothetical group that may include anyone, but targets the false teachers as well. And I'm sure he's targeting those individuals in our day as well, who might say the same thing. I'm walking in fellowship, but yet their lives don't demonstrate that fact. They don't demonstrate the truth of purity and holiness in their lives and the desire for holiness in their lives. Their first claim was, we have fellowship with God in 1 John 1:6, but John says their lives did not back up their claim. They walked in darkness, they lied, and they did not practice the truth. What a testimony for them that they're lying. And it has bearing on their lives and has bearing on the fruit that they potentially could produce or not produce. And so to walk in darkness means ignoring or denying our sins. It is to block out the light of God's holiness as revealed in his word and to live as the world lives, making up your own ideas, seeking to adapt the parameters of how I can live, and I can live because my own understanding of what the truth is. And God is saying, if you're not walking in the light, then the only other alternative is you're walking in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, then you're lying and you're deceived. He goes on in verse 8, these false teachers were doing this because John's next hypothetical statement is in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And it's interesting that we do even today have those individuals who would say that I am without sin. And it was interesting, in a ball league that I was involved in as a younger person, there was a gentleman there from a different church in town who believed in this understanding that he is without sin. So it was really interesting when all of a sudden something didn't go right on the ball field there, his responses. And I'm sure what he did must have had to do is he must have had to re-identify what is sin in his life. But that was his understanding and his belief. And so there's those individuals today who believe that they can live without sin. Verse 10 goes even further and says, "We have not sinned. The most blatant of the three, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And most of us would say, "No, I don't want to ever make and say God to his face that he is a liar." But that is what takes place as he shares there in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and what? His word is not in us. They may have been claiming that they have achieved a state of sinless perfection, or they did not have a sin nature, because they say we have not sinned. Perhaps they were claiming that their enlightenment had led them to see that they were basically good at the core, not evil sinners. Or what some have done is redefine sin. And there was a gentleman that was on our television a number of years now, has since passed away, who did exactly that. He redefined sin. And so if there's a caution for us, be very cautious about what you're watching on the electronic media sources today. Make sure it's based in upon God's word. To have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light as he himself is in the light, as verse 7 says. Walking in the light is not a description of a class of spiritual believers who have achieved perfection or some high state of sanctification. He's not stating, "Wow, that's an impossible line that I can never reach." He's talking about somebody other than what is possible for me. And John would say, "No, I'm talking about somebody that's you. If you are a child of God, if you have the indwelling Holy Spirit living within you, then it is possible to walk in the light." Because he goes on to describe that all true believers who understood that walking in the light doesn't mean that we will not sin. We do occasionally sin. But as he's describing here, it's not a habitual walk in sin. Yes, we're going to sometimes sin. But what do we do with that when we're seeking to walk in the light? We bring it before the Lord, and as he shares here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that part of our relationship? Is that part of the fellowship? As we walk in the light and as God reveals things in our lives, do we say, "God, I agree with you. That's sin. And I lay it before you and I confess that." And so, yes, we are people walking in the light who sometimes do sin. But we have an advocate, and he himself is our propitiation. Our God understands. Our God has gone to the cross, taken care of all sin. But as sin, and he identifies that in our lives, then we can go before him and we can say, "Yes, God, I agree with you. That is sin." The light exposes sin and the state of our fellowship, and that we can confess our sins and that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We do not deny our sin or we try to cover it up, but we are faithful to bring it and allow his blood to cleanse us. And we have the opportunity as his children that his blood does cleanse us from how many sins? From all sins. And what he's talking about here is he's talking about the relationship. Because as you are walking in the light and he reveals different things to us, then our fellowship is hindered often by what those actions. And he reveals that to us and he allows us to come and to take it before him and be cleansed from it. We do not try to deny our sins or we try to cover it up, but we are faithful to bring and allow him to cleanse us. And he does not blame others for it or make excuses for it, but we bring it before him. To walk in the light results in fellowship with God and his people. In him there is no darkness at all. And the construction of the verse has this meaning. And in him, God, there is, present tense, absolutely no darkness at all. Absolutely nothing at all. And the construction here, he uses a double negative. And he uses the strongest negatives that is possible in the Greek language. Because he wants it to be clear. There is no darkness in him at all. John's point is to refute in the strongest way the teaching that God had even one iota of darkness in himself. And so when we all of a sudden bring ourselves, we stand before him, and standing in the light, then things are revealed. Everything is revealed. As much as we like to hide things from each other, as much as we like to hide and in behind different things, when we decide to walk in the light, than he reveals and his light exposes. But we have the joy of being able to walk. When we confess our sins, if he brings that up, then we have the joy of walking in light. The light gives clarity and definition to the fellowship. And so the construction that John speaks here is that he is referring that God, by his very being, is light. Yes, he walks in light, but he is light by very being. So let's take a few moments to explore what John is communicating to his audience with this truth. First of all, light reveals. We all appreciate the ability to be able to turn a switch and have light into reveal what we are working on or what we are doing. When there is a power outage, most of us count the minutes waiting for the power to go back on. And because God is light, he reveals. Truth is revealed in his presence, and darkness must flee. In our lives, we often have things that we would like to hide behind. But as we come into his presence, those things are revealed. And so maybe that's the temptation, to not to come into his presence, because I don't want to have revealed. But if we're going to be able to have fellowship, sweet fellowship back and forward, having things in common, rejoicing and walking in his abilities and his desires, his strength, then we need to expose our lives to that light. There is nothing that escapes his notice. God reveals reality. God, through Christ, opens the eyes of the heart, and life comes into focus, and we see clearly without distortion. Light reveals, and so does God. The enigmas of life will gradually unfold. The great mysteries will become clear. And God reveals truth to us as we spend time with him. And so as we spend time in God's word, he reveals, he opens his light, reveals his truth before us. The truth that God is light has a direct bearing on the fellowship we have with each other. As believers, when we pray, we come face to face with our Heavenly Father. Nothing escapes his notice. And he waits for us to agree with him on those things that the light reveals. And so as we come into his presence and he calls and he asks for us to come into his presence, he desires for us to come into his presence. Yes, he knows we're people that sometimes sin. And he is faithful and just to reveal that truth to us. And he desires that when that happens, then we can confess it before him. And then we walk forward in sweet fellowship once again. The joy of being having that fellowship, that it's almost like a communication between a son and a father, a daughter and a mother, that we can have one with another. When we read his word, his light reveals truth, for we know that in Psalm 36, verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light. And so things are revealed to us as well. As we spend time with him, he reveals truth to us, as he gives us understanding of the truth of his word, as we spend time reading his word. His light reveals truth for us. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The truth, he gives us understanding. He desires and he seeks to reward this relationship that we can have with him. Secondly, light measures. We use light to look at lumber to see if it's straight. And now we've even gone into the whole thing of using lasers to determine what is straight and what is not straight. And so a lot of, in construction nowadays, they're using lasers. In the military, they're using lasers as well to determine what is straight and to measure different things. Surveyors use light to measure distances and angles. And we measure space with light years. We determine the distance to objects in space by the number of light years it is from us. The fastest measurement of speed we have is the speed of light. And God is a measuring stick, a point of reference as well. You can use God to measure everything because he is the standard. He holds the standard of what is true and what is pure. And so we can even look at the whole understanding of marriage and the marriage principles as well. That he holds the standard, and we can measure ourselves against that standard because his light reveals. God sees man according to the truth, according to the light, and all the conflicting voices that we hear today can be sorted out and measured by his revelation of what man is and who man is. The light that shines from God's word about marriage is the full truth about what makes marriages work as well. And so as we look at the standard that God has presented to us in his word, We can use that as the measuring rod of how we are doing as well, as God continues to lead us into truth. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So, how do we have a light and a lamp for our path, the walk that God has called us to? By spending time in his word. If we want our paths lit, we need to spend time in his word. And then light energizes as well. It imparts life. It activates. It quickens. Those who work night shifts find it far harder to stay energized. And I had the joy, I'm not sure if it was the joy, of working a night shift in a season of my life as well. 2 o'clock in the morning, that was one of the hardest times, because all of a sudden my head wanted to go down, and it was like almost bouncing off the desk as I was doing the bob at that time. My energy levels were not nearly what they should have been. But I think for the most part, I managed to stay awake and to fight sleep. Some have to use a light therapy in the wintertime to compensate for the lack of sunlight as well. And God is light, and God intensifies, fulfills, and quickens our bodies for the task he has called us to. And so he gives us the energy, he gives us the strength, he gives us the ability to do what he's called us to do. If we are going to do ministry for God, we are going to need his energizing life. But then throughout the scripture, light has much to say. It's also used in scripture of the glory of God's dwelling place, the nature of God, the impartiality of God. We can go down the long list this morning where light and the importance of his light. This is the implication of walking in the light. The picture that is presented to us is that we be children of God who find it normal life occurrence that we would operate in the light. The implication of this walk is that we enjoy fellowship and we find his cleansing and his forgiveness. We do not find it strange that we need to stop and eat regularly. We don't find it strange that we need to stop and have occasions, periods of sleep as well. And as you get older, maybe it's even the periods of having a nap as well and the importance of that. That's not strange for us any longer. So why should we find it strange to walk in the light as he desires for us to do and to fellowship with him? The choice is before each of us. Will I choose to walk in his light or will I choose to walk in darkness? We have the opportunity. We have the means available to us of walking in the light. So let us learn to be children who bring our actions and our events into his light. Part of fellowship, and I know ladies do this far better than us men do, when they go out for fellowship and you listen in on some of their conversations that they have, they can take what men can complete in 1 minute, it takes them like 15, 20 minutes to do the same thing. But the fellowship they have is they share different things in their lives. And I believe that God wants us in our relationship with him to be able to do the same thing. In our prayer lives, do we bring the events that we are about and that God has before us, the work that God has before us? God, here's what is potentially in front of me today. I don't know how I'm going to get through everything that you've called me to do, but I want to leave this with you. And so we share those events with him. And I believe that God wants to hear what we have in front of us. What can this potentially look like in our lives? When we pray, we inform him of our actions and our reactions, a little like friends having coffee together and catching up on our lives with each other. So can we share with him, God, that guy just really messed me up. God, that action and what that person did really messed me up. And here's my thoughts on it. It might not be right. And often when I have a bad attitude, I often have to come before the Lord and say, God, I know my attitude isn't right, but I sure am enjoying it right the moment. And you're going to have to work to change my attitude. And God is faithful with that. And I believe that God wants to hear those times when all of a sudden we are in that frame of mind. When all of a sudden something goes wrong and our heart response is reactionary. Can we bring those before the Lord in our fellowship that he calls us to? Bring it into the light? Allow him to expose it? Allow him to speak to it? And then come with a better understanding of what his response should be to whatever that action is? I believe that's a picture of the fellowship that we can have when we bring things into the light and we allow him to have it revealed or to reveal it before him. May that just be an encouragement to us this morning, is how do we walk this Christian life, walking in the light in fellowship with him? is that we just walk revealing our lives before him and allowing him to speak and expose that to his truth and allow him to change our hearts as well. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Let me also just be, as I end, speak that we have a lunch ready in the dining hall. So if you are free and are able, please stay and have fellowship together with one another. Find somebody that you can fellowship with it. Find out about what's going on in their lives. And so I'm going to pray for that time as well. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time we've had this morning to look into your word, and thank you for the truth that who you are, that you by essence are light. And that Heavenly Father, we have the joy of walking in your presence, having everything revealed before you. When all of a sudden by your spirit you reveal something, we can lay it before you and bring it before you and confess that, and then continue to walk forward in renewed fellowship once again. May we be people that keep short accounts. May we be people who allow you to light up our lives as well. We just pray as we go into this time of fellowship in the dining hall, may your hand be through in and over every aspect. May you just bless those who have been involved in preparation, and also thank you for this food that you provided for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. If God's been speaking to your heart, please come forward, and we have some people here that would love to pray with you.